This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we're going to review the impact of Budget 2022 as part of our look ahead to the tabling of this year's budget next week on Friday. But in the meantime, let's laser in on cybersecurity concerns. Have you ever received an unwarranted one-time password or OTP text for a transaction you didn't make?
Well, you can technically say goodbye to that because Bank Negara has instructed financial institutions to do away with these OTPs for more secure forms of authentication. This is part of efforts to curb online scams in light of the rise in cybercrimes in this country. Along with this came a slew of announcements to tackle the issues such as tightening fraud detection rules, a cooling off period for first-time enrollment of online banking services, restrictions to one device for authentication, and even dedicated hotlines for customers to report financial scams.
Now, the country has seen a drastic increase of online scams over the last 2 years during the pandemic. According to the police, more than 71,000 scams amounting to over 5.2 billion ringgit in losses were reported between 2020 and May 2022. So are these new rules announced by Bank Negara a step in the right direction in safeguarding our personal data and cybersecurity? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Munira Mustafa, Executive Director of Schusser Group, a research and analytical consulting firm specializing in security challenges. Munira, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So what do you make of this move by Bank Negara for financial institutions to migrate from using SMS OTP to more secure forms of authentication?
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me on the show. So I'm going to start by saying that I think we need to carefully think what or how exactly do we define security? Because there seems to be a preoccupation with implementing the latest and bestest quotation marks tax solutions to deal with security breaches without considering various and overlapping issues. I would disagree with the notion that SMS OTP is the root of the problem. It's not. Although you could argue that one, the vulnerabilities are symptomatic, and two, there are other available alternatives that are more secure. Moreover, the thing is, many users prefer SMS over alternatives solution because they are already used to text messaging as part of their daily communication. And phasing out OTP SMS might exclude a large segment of the population, and that would include the elderly.
Okay, so let's talk about the alternatives because you just mentioned it very briefly. What would they be? Would it be biometrics or an authenticator app? How can we make doing these transactions more secure?
So I can't really say one is better on the other, although I can admit that I do use biometrics and authenticator app. I know right now biometrics seems like a clear favorite right now because amongst those with the decision-making powers, but I've got bad news for you. It's not that secure and it has its own set of weaknesses. It can also be spoofed. The problem with it is that it will always be about data storage and how well the custodian in question secures said storage. Now, let's just say that the worst case scenario were to happen, that a biometric database gets hacked and leaks. Once that biometrics data is out there, you can't exactly burn off your fingerprints and get new ones.
Or your eyeball, for that matter, which is probably
exactly
more scary, right?
Yeah.
So, Munira, you mentioned this earlier about how it would be difficult to migrate those who are technologically less savvy, those who are used to SMS OTP text, to something different. I mean, just humor me. What would it take actually to implement that then? What do authorities or what do the powers that we need to do to get people onto the new technology?
So the thing is, with any phasing out, phasing in is going to take a lot of time. But and policymakers just need to be very patient because and what we need to take into account is that many older and cheaper phones do not come equipped with biometrics readers. My dad's phone definitely doesn't have one. And even if it does, I can tell you with certainty that he's not going to use it because he's a stickler for tried and true habits. Mm-hmm. Breaking habits is very difficult, especially amongst the older generation. And don't forget that many of us have disabilities to account for as well. So we need to implement security protocol that's more accessible and budget friendly to everyone while keeping everyone safe and secure. So I would recommend that we need to implement security protocol that's more accessible and budget friendly for everyone and making sure that that can help keep everyone safe and secure. So what I'm saying is that a multi-layered approach would be recommended, and maybe an option where users can choose what kind of multi-layer approach that they would feel most comfortable with.
So yeah, give us a bit of an example of what do you mean by this multi-layered approach, which is going to be cheap and easy to use. Because you described a lot of people who are maybe not as technologically savvy, but we also want them to be included in the changes that we are seeing in the financial sector.
So maybe a combination of, so for now, I'm using both biometrics and authenticator app, but maybe some people might prefer to use a one-time texting option and also biometrics. It's like basically just a combination of two or three approaches so that we could determine this is the person and they just want to access their account. Mm.
And I guess in the meantime, even as we make these technological security advancements, the scammers are typically always one step ahead. They're working on new ways to break the system. So how do you think, is there a way for enforcement agencies and financial institutions to stay resilient in combating these bad actors?
So here's the thing that people need to understand. Scammers are and will always work on new ways to break the system. This is literally what their entire business model is based on. And we have to remember that it will always be a perennial race, with bad actors having the mischief advantage because they're not only opportunistic, they're also very agile. And they're not restrained by law and governance like the rest of us law-abiding citizens. So this is why I've been advocating for policy-based approaches to tackle the problem rather than tech-based solutions, because bad actors will always find a way to intercept, either by spear phishing, scamming, catfishing, remote attacking, spoofing, malware, spyware, etc. Part of the problem is because I think our existing personal data Protection Act, PDPA 2010, is still too lenient to vendors and service providers, which have been placing most of the burden on customers and users. And the PDPA seriously needs to be looked at again, because now we're in 2022, it's not 2010 anymore. The entire culture needs to be revamped. Existing policies must be re-evaluated to reflect changing norms, culture, technology, and the evolving threat environment, because it does not stay static.
Okay, the other thing is that are there then gaps in how financial institutions themselves detect and react to suspected fraud or scam transactions? I mean, usually people find out too late and then they report to the bank and then they say, oh, we can't do anything.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. It's really difficult to say for sure because many of these financial institutions have not been very transparent or forthcoming about the security breaches and scam transactions. And many of them have been faulting customers instead. So we don't know what happened with them because they won't tell us. So it's difficult for many of us as the end users to change our security habits unless we know what needs changing. So here's a fun fact. Many businesses, they're not willing to spend money on cybersecurity because they view it as an additional cost, which is why they've been outsourcing the burden to their customers and users instead. We only hear about it from victims after the fact. Again, this only serves to cement my previous point about revamping policies and legislations, because this is one of the many practical ways we can ensure that users, customers, and consumers are protected, because this would enforce financial institutions and businesses that hold our data custody to harden the security and change their institutional culture and behavior, and on top of that, improve their data management, so hopefully for the better. The outcome we would hope for is a better respect for privacy and confidentiality.
Okay, Munira, but one last question from us. Yeah. Until all these policy changes happen, what can we do to ensure, what steps should we take to prevent ourselves from being scammed? Give us some practical advice.
So the best suggestions I could think of is that, one, people need to understand processes. They need to understand how the banks deal with them as customers, and two, they need to understand how government processes work. There's this gap of knowledge about all this because people have been taking things for granted, and this is the kind of vulnerability that scammers are leveraging on because they know that people don't know, and they're using this ignorance to their advantage. So we need to basically we need to inform ourselves about all these processes, procedures, protocols, keep ourselves abreast of the current situation, current problems, current vulnerabilities. And on top of that, we just need to be more careful and not simply download apps that we don't know what the sources are from. So at the moment, the only practical suggestion I can think of is that download only apps from official Google Store and iTunes Store, and make sure that, you know, check the reviews, make sure that there are no complaints from other users about any problems. Don't simply download apps that you don't know where it's from, who's the creator, who's the designer and everything. That's one of the measures that you can take that's quite practical.
Munira, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Munira Mustafa, Executive Director of Schosser Group, talking to us about cybersecurity measures and ways that we can make sure that we're more protected online. 7:29 in the morning, we're heading into some messages. We'll come back after the news bulletin to discuss Japan's tourism sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.